Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Chwaba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who always looks ahead, even when parallel parking, Pete Chwaba.
Welcome back. That is not the voice of a ghost you heard introducing me. That was the one and only Todd Michaels Dering, who is the producer of the Mino and the Mayor morning show here at WGBW and does all of my intros, and you crush them. You have such a great voice, Todd.
Hey, man, thank you.
You're welcome. And no wonder ghosts want to talk to you. They want to hear back. They want to hear your voice talk to you back.
That's right. I love the ghost on the TV screen behind you now. I don't know. Khan must have threw that up.
Yeah, huh? He did. He was trying to do something else, and I said, just put it on that. But then we couldn't see anything with the lights off. So now it doesn't look like nightlight. It looks like a post-op room where someone just had their prostate removed. But anyway.
Still got that laying around someplace in there?
Look, you know, it brings in some extra money. If patients need to come in and out, that's fine. So it's great to have you here, Todd. And I love talking about, this is a great Friday night conversation. So you said you have equipment at home. You showed us a voice box, spirit box.
Yep.
Okay.
The spirit box. Yep.
How do those work, and are they expensive?
I mean, spirit box is probably around $100 maybe. And it literally is just a radio that you turn on, and you can turn it to sweep through the channels very quickly, very, very slowly, whatever you want. There are more expensive ones. My first spirit box was called a Shack Hack, because you would go to Radio Shack and there was a certain radio you could buy, and then you could go on YouTube and figure out how to open it up, cut a specific wire that would allow it to cycle through all the stations. And so it was called a Shack Hack. So some of the stuff you can actually make on your own, but there are now ghost, you know, stores online all over the place. When I first started, it was really difficult to find some of this stuff, and a lot of it wasn't even being used. So things have come a long way when it comes to investigating the paranormal.
Jeez. So, all right. So I told you about this other guest I have on often, Frank Anderson. He told me that Ed Gein is misunderstood. And I don't know how much you know about Ed Gein, but apparently he was not necessarily really a serial killer, but he was more of a grave robber. Have you ever investigated Ed Gein at all? Do you have thoughts on him?
All right. So true story. Sandy, who's listening tonight and is also my co-host on the podcast, she and I and her husband actually went up to Plainfield and went and found where he's buried with his family. And did a little session out there. And then she went and basically broke into the land, because you're not allowed on the land where the house sat. But she busted down the signs that said, do not trespass, and went in there and all that kind of stuff. But she's also a little bit of a medium, psychic.
Okay.
I don't know how you want to call it. And she got some real sadness at his mother's grave. I think he was misunderstood, but there's no doubt about it. He did some really creepy stuff. Let's be honest about that.
I'm not saying the guy didn't have his quirks.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, like, because we're kind of known, Wisconsin has a reputation for having serial killers, but I think he was sort of trying to dispel that by saying, well, you know, some of them get a bad rap. Not that they didn't do bad things, but we got some more people chiming in on the stream here, Todd. You got quite a following. Railroad Museum, Vicky.
Oh, yeah. Heck.
So we'll talk about that next. But Neil Mankey says, was there anything that has stuck with you that still gives you the heebie-jeebies? That's a great question. What, like, you've done all this investigating. You're pretty centered regarding all of it. You don't seem like you get freaked out. But have you ever been?
Yeah, well, I mean, in the moment, I think so. And I think I told this story the last time, but it was on Washington Island, and it was the first time, you know, as you investigate, there's a first time for everything, right? It's like the first time you drive a car, the first time your first kiss. When you investigate, it's your first disembodied voice, your first EVP, the first time you see a shadow figure. The very first time that I heard something growl in front of us, and nothing being there. Was I scared? Not necessarily, but it really opened my eyes to know that we really don't know what's going on around us all the time. We think we do.
Yeah.
I see you sitting there. I see the logo of the radio station behind you and the other microphone, but what could possibly be going on around you in that room right now? And think about this. So you're like right on the river in Green Bay, right?
Mm-hmm.
The river's just a little ways away. You've got water there. You've got land that was fought for. Green Bay, there was some battles and stuff that happened there. Green Bay is has a lot of energy. And where you're sitting right now, it's a nice building where people live and the studio's there. But who knows what happened on that land that you're on?
Conrad, take a memo.
Sounds good.
Going to hang all the doors with garlic above the doors and stuff like that.
Cross.
Right? I'm on it.
Yvette Marie says, I liked the Washington Island episode. Todd says, thanks for watching, everyone. If you're listening and you want to get in on the conversation, we've got a great thread going here on the stream. Angela Brown says, missing my Charles Nelson Reilly. Was there a Charles Nelson Reilly ghost?
Well,
Angela Brown is from the show, right?
She is.
One of your co-stars. Okay.
Yeah. I was, was Brett Summers from, we were Match Game fans, and she loves Brett Summers and I love Charles Nelson Reilly.
Oh,
so that's
who
why.
Doesn't? Yeah. That's fantastic. Yvette Marie, Todd Michaels, Daring, thanks for being an amazing and sharing all of this. Neil Mankey, I miss Jimmy Stewart.
I do a little Jimmy Stewart impression. Oh, you want to hear it?
Yeah, I'd love to. From Beyond the Grave, please.
All right. You're Mr. Potter? You're like a spider on the back of my hand is what you are. Your money's in this building alone. Your money's in Eddie's house. Well, that's where it is. Yeah.
You must have gotten so many chicks back in the day.
Or not.
Or not. Was that the party killer when you break out the Jimmy Stewart?
Yeah. Watch me. Watch me do this.
And they're like, who is that? Angela Brown sending you a long distance dedication. Todd and Casey. Is that an inside joke?
We love Casey Kasem. Have you? And
you? If, oh, I bet I you do just... a killer Casey Kasem.
And now a long distance dedication from Peachwaba in Green Bay to Conrad on the other side of the glass. Could you play You Are My Woman? Here's your long distance dedication.
I don't like where that was going. Angela
You're
Brown.
Once, twice, three times a lady.
Angela Brown says, Todd is still the voice of TV9. Look at you.
Oh,
man.
Yeah. I did some TV9 stuff for Oshkosh West High School. North, I believe.
Oh, nice. Yeah, you got killer pipes, man. Sandy Jean, OMG. Love the emojis. Neil Mankey says, my mother grew up around Plainfield, Wisconsin around that time, and my biological father worked at the prison where Ed was and had to take him multiple times down to the hospital in Madison, I believe it was, he says. Neil Mankey says, yes. You
know, his stone is no longer there because people were chipping away at it.
Oh, really?
And so they took it, and it's elsewhere. So the mother's there, the father's there, the brother's there, but where his gravestone would be is empty.
So, Todd... All right. So you've got all this equipment. I don't remember if I told you last time you were here, my experience at when I was doing stand-up comedy in Milwaukee, they used to put the comics up in a, did I tell you this?
It was there a doorbell or a light?
Yeah. It was so crazy. And I had no paranormal equipment or whatever. It was just a weird thing. Have you ever had anything like that happen? And how would you explain that to me? If I'm saying, I think it was a ghost or some type of spirit that rang the doorbell and wasn't there 2 seconds, not even 2 seconds later, with no escape route. What would you do to debunk that?
Well, the first thing is anything electrical, you got to be really skeptical, right? Because a lot of these buildings are old. It could be stray wires. It could be faulty wiring. It can, you know, the knocking in your wall could be pipes and all that kind of stuff. So the first thing I would do is have that looked at. Is there something wrong with that? And then I would, you know, if that weren't the case, then I would start looking at some other ways to investigate it. You can get these little cameras now that can record, like we even got one that the front door of the radio station has a camera now. So if somebody walks up to it, it captures it. You can get that stuff relatively inexpensive now, set a couple up and see what happens. But I will always say this, be really sure you want to know what's happening, because you might find out that it's something you weren't expecting, and that can really shake you.
You know, and I'd heard stories about this condo from other comics. The club owner, I got kind of tight. The club owners typically did not share these stories with other comics because they didn't want them to not want to stay there and have to get a hotel room and pay extra money. But I got to know them very well, and they did tell me about this. And I still stayed there, but I heard a lot of stories. So anyway, I thought that was strange. Like, I didn't need, there was no equipment. It was just a really weird thing that happened. So I got to share this.
The other thing that's cool about that, Pete, is that if I remember properly, a lot of other people had very similar things happen. It wasn't just you or one other guy. These were consistent things happening. And that's part of the investigation too. Like, are we seeing things happen during our investigation that several other people have reported over a series of dates?
That's a great point. I don't know how you're doing on time, Todd. I have a guest at 8:35. Are you sure?
Yeah.
Okay.
Just sitting here in my pajamas. It doesn't matter.
In your haunted basement. Yeah.
That's right.
So can we talk about the Riverside Cemetery? Are you familiar with that? Or the Pfister?
The Pfister, you know, there's a place that's really tough to get into.
Yeah.
I know our group tried to get in there to do some investigating and things of that nature, and it's just really tough. A lot of places that there's really two kinds of places that have paranormal experiences happen. There are places that want to use that to, and I don't want to use the word exploit in all cases. Some places do exploit that to bring in business. Some people use it as an attraction. And then there's places that want nothing to do with it because, like you said, they don't want to scare people away. And I think the Pfister is in that particular category.
Okay. All right.
But man, I'd love to get in there.
Yeah. So I do want to ask you about the Railroad Museum again. I know you touched on it last time. I think we got interrupted. And then Vicky has a text I'll read next too. She's got some stuff going on in her house. So we'll talk about those things. Just a few more minutes here with Todd Michaels Daring, paranormal investigator and producer of the fabulous Mino and the Mayor Morning Show here on WGBW and WISS. More to come. This is Pete Schwabe and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Here comes my baby. Here she comes now. And it comes as no surprise to me with another guy. Here comes my baby. Here she comes now. Walking with a love was a love that's so, so fine. Never to be mine, no matter how I try. You'll never walk alone.
Welcome back. Talking spooky stuff tonight from the 920. Tori from Kewaunee says, my grandma owned a restaurant in the 80s through the 90s. In 82, her son, my uncle, passed away in a fire in the upper living quarters. Fast forward to early 2000s, I purchased the same restaurant. My employees had the same feelings that someone was standing behind them and hearing someone talk in the restaurant kitchen below where he passed away upstairs. Whoa. Tori, that's a great text. Thank you.
And you know, Pete, I got to throw this in because there's so many stories about restaurants and taverns and supper clubs that are haunted. Excuse me. I have a thought process on that. And I think a lot of other investigators do. These families, these people who own these businesses, they toil and put their heart and soul into these locations. And would it be so difficult to believe that when their bodies are gone, that their love and their passion for it just goes away, or does it somehow stay behind? I mean, to me, that just makes a ton of sense.
Yeah, that is really interesting. And I know, especially with my situation in Milwaukee at the Comedy Condo, there were bootleg tunnels under the condo that went to the restaurant Giovanni's. And apparently a cook was killed in the kitchen there. And supposedly, I don't know if it's a tall tale or what, I'm hearing it 18th hand, but he is the spirit that haunts that condo. So take what you want from that. But
what we tried to do in that series too, is to take those stories of lore and do some actual investigating, look up some actual records to find out what really happened. And a lot of times you find out that some of that stuff's just a little bit of a tall tale kind of thing. And then sometimes you find out there's some actual meat to the story. And that helps you in your investigation. You know a little bit more about what really happened at that place.
Yeah. Chris Casper chiming in on the text. 608, Casey Kasem did Shaggy's voice from Scooby-Doo. That's kind of tangential, but it's nice to hear.
Casey Kasem is the best, man. And I'm going to put this out there, and I have no responsibility for it, but if you've never looked up Casey Kasem bloopers on YouTube,
oh,
you have got to do it.
Conrad memo. You've can we play him on the air? Or is
no,
it just a bunch of swears?
Okay. You cannot.
Todd, before we were talking about the worst places ever to have an Easter egg hunt. When I did stand up, I did a joke in my act. Did you hear that?
No, okay. I didn't, but it sounds like it's going to be great.
It's terrible. I ended up, because I was working with a big name stand-up comedian who I will not name, took me to a strip club on Easter Sunday. He bought me brunch. Then it was a hostage situation. I was in the car with him, and I had to go.
We all celebrate different ways.
So to make things, long story even longer, I walk into this famous strip club in Tampa. I'm following him, hostage situation, and I meet a girl with a Marinette County Fair t-shirt on in Florida. Oh. And we're both like, I'm like, I'm from Marinette. She goes, me too. And then we immediately stopped and turned and went our separate ways.
Was she working there?
She was like the hostess.
Oh, okay, yeah. Sure. Okay.
And there's like four people. It's a horrible experience. And my joke at the end was, well, as it turns out, they had one heck of an Easter egg hunt. And so that's our question tonight. And Conrad wants to know, is it okay to have an Easter egg hunt in a cemetery?
I mean, why not?
Yeah, that's what I say. All right.
You know, I've really gotten into cemeteries a little bit in the last probably year. Because I actually feel bad, right? These people live their lives. They've each one of us has a story to tell. And then at some point we end up possibly in the ground with a headstone or, you know, in an urn and ashes or something like that. And all of a sudden our story is gone.
Yeah.
And I really feel like, you know, I did some investigating a couple of years ago, not paranormal, but literally into my lineage, and found where my great grandfather lived and where his house was and that he was buried just down the street. And it was this big house. And so my investigating now, while I still do paranormal investigating, sometimes I'm investigating just to get the stories, not to get, you know, I don't need to see the shadow figure, but if I can get a story from somebody who's passed on and I can learn more about their life and the things that happened to them, I really get a kick out of that.
Does part of you want to do this? Because, I mean, I'm fascinated with the afterlife, and really it's kind of a miracle we're all here, the way things aligned and how the universe, and it's whether you want to believe that it's God or the Big Bang or God created the Big Bang, however you get there. I think most of us struggle with what is after this. There's got to be something.
Right.
So is that part of what propels you or motivates you to want to make a connection to the other side?
Possibly. I just think so often as human beings, we're so closed-minded on so many basic things in life.
Yeah.
To me, this is just like a bigger issue that we could have more conversations about. Yeah. And we can all have a little. The other thing about investigators and the team that I went out with for Haunted State, we all had different thoughts and feelings on things. We didn't all agree that, oh, well, that was something or that wasn't something, right? We all had the ability to say, well, I disagree with what you're thinking, but I'll open my mind to what you're saying. So it wasn't like we all went in and went on a vote of four. Was that a haunt? And we all, our hands all went up, right? We all had different thoughts and feelings on it. So if you're going to do this, surround yourself with skeptics, believers, people with open minds, people with some knowledge. And then go have a little bit of fun with some respect and reverence for what you're actually doing.
You know, and that's one of the things I liked about Haunted State a lot, is that that is how you guys do it. You all kind of have a discussion, like, I don't know what, like, you don't claim to be experts. You're just looking into things, and it's not too slick, and you don't have, you know, a bunch of attractive people.
Wait a minute.
You guys are all very handsome. I'm just saying. It's obviously.
It's all right. No, it's okay.
It's not
okay,
like
this discussion is done.
It's not the Kardashians in bathing suits investigating ghosts, is what I'm saying. And that, to me, is part of the charm. It's like you guys truly seem like you just want to find out what's going on. And I love that. Vicky says, I've had doors opening and closing in my home. It's unnerving when it's happening inside your home. That would be, especially if it's not windy or anything. Todd, this was fun. I really appreciate your time tonight. You are very handsome. The entire cast, drop dead gorgeous people, and celebrate that a little more. That's all I'm saying now.
And on your show as well, you and Khan, great looking guys. I mean, if you guys went to a strip club tonight, I mean, you're picking up chicks left and right.
We're going to find a lot of Easter eggs. That's what we're doing. We're going to rent a bus and it's going to be the party bus.
And it's just you guys on it. That's it.
Yeah, right. Just the two of us. Oh, wow. Okay. So this has been fun. Thank you, buddy. I appreciate your time. Have a great weekend. And
you too.
Yeah, come back again. I didn't even get to all my questions. So
absolutely, anytime, man.
All right, you got it. That's Todd Michaels Daring. He is the morning show producer for Mino and the Mayor here at WGBW and WISS. Check out that show; it is absolute gold. The guys are hilarious. Check out Haunted State on Amazon Prime. It's all Wisconsin stuff too. That's what I love about it, and a lot of it is in Door County, right down the road here. So it's a lot of fun. All right, in just a couple minutes. I'm really excited about this next guest because she has a great new movie called Angels of Dirt, and it premieres next Friday night, April 7th, at the Barrymore Theater at the Wisconsin Film Festival. Her name is Wendy Schneider, and she joins us next on Nightlight with Pete Schwabba on the Civic Media Radio Network.
When will I learn? Memories get in the way. I walk around. I can't hear a sound, folks talking loud, but I don't see at all. I gotta get away, gotta get away. I don't
know where to go. It's hopeless, so I guess I'll leave it alone.
Well, I spent all that day fixing up to go somewhere. Thought I was late, and I found she was.
Did you miss what's hot from Wisconsin to Hollywood? Listen to Nightlight with Pete Schwabba podcast on civicmedia.us. You can always listen through Spotify, Apple Podcast, or the Civic Media app. Take Nightlight with Pete Schwabba anywhere you go. Once again, here is your host, Pete Schwabba.
Welcome back to a Friday night edition of Nightlight. We are getting to the bottom of many questions about, well, in the first part of the show anyway, the paranormal and where not to have Easter egg hunts. And now we're going to turn our attention to some movie making. My next guest made a film called Angels of Dirt, and it premieres a week from tonight at the Barrymore Theater in Madison at the Wisconsin Film Festival. Her name is Wendy Schneider, and I'm going to bring her in just a second. But first, we are going to hear just a little bit of her latest effort, Angels of Dirt.
To a community of young female motorcycle racers who inspired me with their grace, their readiness, and their determination to compete. The first racer I met was 9-year-old Charlotte Kings.
My name is Charlotte Evans. I'm 9 years old. I've been racing for 4 years. I've been riding for 5.
That was the beginning of a story of passion and a fearless dedication to sport. Is also a gateway to professional racers Nicole Meese, Shayna Texter, and Morgan.
That is a short audio clip from the film Angels of Dirt. And now I am honored to welcome my next guest, Wendy Schneider, the director of the film. Hi, Wendy.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yeah, perfectly.
Oh, great. Great.
Was that you narrating?
Yeah, that was so long ago. That was funny to hear my voice. It's fun to hear Charlotte's little voice in there, but yeah, that's an old teaser that I made. Well, it's a teaser I made when I relaunched the film in 2016. So, you know, when you make independent documentaries, sometimes the trailer gets the worst of it. Like you don't make time for the trailer. You're just trying to finish the documentary. But thanks for playing that. And thanks for having me on. It's nice to hear you after quite a while.
It's been a while. You were on Director's Cut on PBS Wisconsin years ago with Butch Vig.
Yes.
And I got to interview you guys. That was so fun. And then I got to interview, I think you were there at the Barrymore too with Butch and Steve,
yes,
for the Q&A. That was really just a phenomenal film. And this one looks very, very different. Can you tell us a little bit about Angels of Dirt and how you found the project?
Yeah. Well, I want to make one quick clarification. It's Sunday night that the premiere is in Madison. So the Wisconsin premiere is, it's Sunday, April 7th, 7 p.m. Same theater, Barrymore Theater. Ah. I'm very fortunate. I started Angels of Dirt in 2006. I'd been driving by Astalan Cycle Club, which is a motorcycle, an amateur, race area in Lake Mills, Wisconsin. And it looked pretty intriguing. I saw how much fun folks were having on weekends when they were mostly motocross. That's what you can see from the highway is motocross racing. And I showed up for races, maybe on and off around 2004 and 5. And then I saw quite a few young girls racing and thought it'd be interesting to just show up with a camera and talk to them and see what it was like being a young girl in this community. So that launched the project. The first young person that I interviewed was 9-year-old Charlotte Keynes, and I just kept coming back. So that's how the film started.
So did you have an interest in racing prior to that, or was it just driving by every day where you were like, I got to check this out and see what this is all about?
An interest in racing? Not really. I mean, I have a street bike. I've always had street bikes, but I'm not a racer. I'm not a very competitive person, but it just looked like a lot of fun. And it really was. Astalan is a great environment to hang out, watch racing, have a brat, drink a beer. The people are really cool out there. I was really just drawn to seeing a lot of young girls racing because I didn't think of it as a sport that really had that many young females participating. There are two types of racing that happen out at ASI. One is motocross, the other is flat track. Motocross does run a women's class. So there was always like a large amount of women there racing. But Astalan, flat track did not separate out women in the motorcycle racing that they did. So I was also really very curious about like a race community where all the young girls and boys race together. It was all about ability. It wasn't about your gender.
So can you tell us a little bit about Charlotte? Like, I read the article you shared with me in the Isthmus, and it said she got her first motorcycle at 3 months old, which I find hard to believe. But can you talk about, she sounds like a great subject for a documentary. And, there's a lot of heartache in the film, too, I assume, based on what I read. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, I mean, Charlotte was just, she had this sort of Zen quality to her. She was kind. She was curious. She was a real badass on the racetrack. She was friendly and caring and, all the things that you are drawn to in a young person. But there was something about her that just felt different. And I think that if you ask most people who knew Charlotte, she had a quality that made you want to sort of lean in, want to engage. You took note of what she did and what she said. And she was very well raised. She was an incredible racer. She was driven, but in a way that was sort of, quiet, soft-spoken, but very fierce competitor. She was a very fierce competitor. And and I think that there were certain qualities that, ones that I mentioned that just made me curious to know more. And it was hard to know more about Charlotte. She was a very quiet young person, but I stayed in there and did a number of years of filming her, following her around to various tracks. And then I stepped away from the film in 2008. Took a year off, and then Smart Studios closed and I shifted gears and started working on another documentary. So it was a strange shift, back then. But when I came back into Angels of Dirt, Charlotte had risen to be a really, formidable competitor in the professional flat track arena. And she lost her life on the last race of her first full pro season in 2016. And so when that happened, I picked up the film and began to finish it in her honor.
How far along was the project when that happened, Wendy, when she passed away?
Well, not far along in terms of story. I think I spent 3 years, just interviewing nonstop, but not knowing what it was going to turn out to be. I didn't have necessarily the hook that I wanted or the story or the journey that I wanted an audience to take. And so putting it on the shelf was not difficult because I feel like I was somewhat overwhelmed with how I was going to finish it. And then over, then time just took over, you know, Smart Studios, was 6 years of my life, but, you know, strangely and coincidentally, like the, almost to the day that Smart Studios was released was the day that we lost Charlotte. So,
oh, wow.
I felt like the story was telling itself, you know, it's,
yeah,
well, you know what I'm saying? It, you know, now it was a film that was going to incorporate, you know, a lot of footage from when she was around with a lot of stories about who she was. And my challenge was to weave those two periods of time together so that the audience not only learned about Charlotte, but learned about racing, learned about this love-loss dynamic that is inherent in all of our lives now that Charlotte's not with us.
My guest is Wendy Schneider. Her film is Angels of Dirt. It premieres in Wisconsin April 7th on Sunday night at the Barrymore yes. Theater. I had to check myself again there. Great venue. And how do you, as a documentarian, that's one reason I don't think I ever could make a documentary, is finding the story. Is that hard? And are there times you just give up and you go, it's just not here? Have you ever been in that position?
Well, in the case of... interestingly, Smart Studios and with Angels of Dirt, there was the story was the result of a loss. I mean, once there is an end, you have the beginning, you have it's encapsulated in a certain way. And you have to decide whether or not you want to sort of bring that to life, back to life in some ways, so that there's a commemorative vibe, but then there's also story and there's emotion and there's there are themes that people can relate to. You know, I think that Charlotte was for me, even when she was with us, she was a beacon of, I don't know, of dedication, of, you know, I've just had to kind of walk a cool path in life. I mean, yeah. I really felt, and you know, when you see the film, the film does a much better job at conveying who Charlotte was because you see her and you hear her and you really have a sense of, you know, even from a very, very young age, I mean, this child was drawing Harley Davidson motorcycles that she wanted to ride. And that was really interesting to me that that somebody could really manifest their path with a lot of intention. And that's exactly what she did with support and with a lot of love and support from the people around her.
I'm actually happy your film is playing on Sunday night now because I thought it was Friday and I have to do this show. I'll be doing it for Madison on Friday, but now I get to go see your movie. So are there still tickets left for the film?
Yeah, there are tickets left. I don't know if you want to do a ticket giveaway for your listeners. You know, yeah, we certainly can, you know, give away, you know, let's say, let's do like 6 tickets, you know, 3 pairs of tickets. So let me know however you want to do that.
Let's do that maybe next week, midweek maybe.
Oh yeah, definitely.
Okay.
Definitely.
Fantastic.
So I'm glad you're going to come.
Yeah. That'll be fun. It'll be good to see you.
Yeah.
Where can people see the Smart Studio story for those of, if there are anyone listening in Wisconsin, we're on statewide. If you have not seen this film, you have to see it. It's just such a great documentary. Where can people stream it?
If you go to the smartstudiostory.com, you can see all the streaming platforms that we offer. I think there's Vimeo, there's Prime, it might be YouTube. Yeah. It's all on our website, thesmartstudiostory.com. And that's really sort of, you know, how this tiny little studio connects to the larger story of American rock and roll, particularly independent and underground rock and roll. And, it's a super, super fun, super fun. I mean, 95 cuts of music that just helped tell the story along with Butch Vig and a ton of musicians from Wisconsin, a ton.
And your experience there must have been like, it's so funny. I've told this to Frank Anderson several times, who's a regular guest on the show. I've driven by the Smart, when I was a stand-up in the 90s and I worked funny business in Madison, I would drive up from Chicago. I drove past that building probably 100 times in the 90s. I had no idea what was happening in there or the music you guys were churning out. It is so great. If you have not seen the Smart Studio story, Check it out. Are you with us here to stay in Wisconsin now forever, Wendy? Are you ever going back to New York, or do we get to have you for eternity here?
I'm not going on, I'm not going anywhere anytime soon. I'm going to take the film to racetracks and show the film a lot this summer.
Oh, cool.
And just get a feel for how it's being received and what kind of a cut this is. There's a festival cut that will play in Madison. It will play also at the Milwaukee Film Festival.
Nice.
On the 18th of April and on the 20th of April. And speaking of Frank Anderson, I produced and wrote the score to Angels of Dirt, and Frank Anderson nice. Played on a number of the tracks.
Oh, that's so great. He's such a great guy.
He's great.
He does everything. Like, the guy is a showbiz renaissance man. Like, he helped my son with his student film 5 years ago that got into the Wisconsin Film Festival. Like, he's just
fantastic.
He's so much fun to talk to on the show too. And I put the offer out to him and you as well. I love having live performers. I'll be in Madison Friday night and Monday night. If you know anybody, you got some good music. I love having, and I typically do the show here in Green Bay. So just roll that around in your head. I'm happy to put somebody on the air. I love having live performers.
Okay, absolutely. Yeah.
All right.
It's so nice to be reconnected to you.
Absolutely, Wendy. This has been fun. I'll reach out to you. We'll do that giveaway next week, and I look forward to seeing you next Sunday. Good luck with the Angels of Dirt.
Thanks so much. Be safe.
All right, you too.
Thanks for having me.
Anytime. That's Wendy Schneider, the director, producer, filmmaker of Angels of Dirt, which you can see next Sunday night at the Wisconsin Film Festival at the Barrymore Theater. And if you think you're a singer, check out the Coney Island Studios. That's her outfit in Madison. She's incredibly talented. All right, so when we come back, Conrad, let's read some more texts when we come back.
Of course.
Before we get out of here. It's an Easter weekend. I got plans. Conrad and I rented a bus. We're going to, where are we going again? We got to figure that out. All right, more Nightlight coming up next. I'm Pete Schwab. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. Welcome back. Just a few more minutes of Nightlight here before we start our Easter weekend and we check out as many Easter egg hunts statewide as we can. That was really fun talking to Wendy Schneider. She's such a good interview. She's such a phenomenally talented filmmaker. Check out the Smart Studios story. Just go to their website. All the streaming platforms are there. I think she said it's on Prime. Check out Todd Michaels Daring's show, Haunted State. He's one of an ensemble that puts out that show, and they just investigate haunted places in Wisconsin. It's a very easy watch. The episodes are like 30 minutes long, and you might learn something about Wisconsin too. But we had two of Wisconsin's own on the show tonight, which is really cool before we head into this long weekend. It's not really a long weekend for us.
No.
It's like, pardon me, we're still here. It's late at night. If anything, it's a short weekend for us. But what are you going to do on Easter, Conrad?
Don't really have any plans, actually.
No.
Basketball's on.
Yeah.
Cook myself a TV dinner.
TV dinner. Do you have that capability? You can cook yourself a TV dinner?
I actually don't have a microwave in my apartment, so I can't.
So you got to go old school. Peel the foil back and put it in the oven. Nice.
I don't remember the last time I've actually had a TV dinner, but man, it doesn't sound too bad.
Yeah, someday, you know. Every once in a while they hit the spot. Chris Casper, I almost missed a text from Chris, who's a great dude. He says, love to Casey, was the best. Look up Casey bloopers on YouTube. It's gold. That's what Todd said. Yeah, Chris is quoting Todd. I have to do that. We have to do that. It doesn't sound like there's enough bleeps, though, to get through it.
Yeah.
Thank you to Terry Barr, who this is Terry's, what, third week in a row she hasn't been here?
Yeah.
And I'm not, like, saying I'm totally taking it personally, but, you know, if it happens again. No, but Terry has been, pardon me, a real sport about finding us guests because she's so much fun to talk to on Friday nights and sort of set the table for her show on Saturday, Max Inc., which is such a fun show, and she's gotten us such amazing music. But in lieu of Terry, I did reach out to Wendy on my own, but Terry is obviously much closer with Wendy than I am, and she said Wendy would be happy to come on the show. So that was fun. We kept it music-related. You found a Chris Farley clip, Conrad.
Yeah.
How do we present this?
Well, so we actually played this clip. I think it was for Chris Farley's birthday.
Is this the one we played? Are you sure?
No, we didn't play this exact clip, but the skit in SNL where he said a van down by the river.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Is part of this.
So the story behind that was it was Chris Farley's birthday or Bob Odenkirk's?
I forget who it was. I think it might have been Farley.
Okay, so Farley does the character. What's his name again?
Oh, what was it?
Todd down by the river van. Okay. So Bob Odenkirk wrote that skit and he was still waiting. And I wanted to talk about this with Pete Moore when he was on the show the other day, but we had some technical issues. But Pete waited tables with Steve Carell. Bob Odenkirk waited tables at Ed DeBevick's in Chicago and wrote the skit, sent it in to his buddy Chris Farley. No, sent it in to his friend Bob Smigel. Smigel got Farley to do it. Chris Farley's waiting table. I'm sorry. Bob Odenkirk is waiting tables at Ed DeBevick's on a Saturday night, looks up, and Farley's doing that character in the skit he wrote. And I love that story. And then obviously Bob Odenkirk went on to do amazing things. But we have that. We have Chris doing this. It's a recruiting tool, right?
I believe it was. Because in the clip, if you're watching it, he's on the field.
At Camp Randall.
Right. Yeah. And he's decked out in Madison stuff.
And he's trying to get, it's very short, and he's trying to get people to come to UW. It's a recruiting tool. I don't know why Wisconsin basketball obviously has not paid dividends for them, but let's play that.
You don't go to the University of Wisconsin, you're going to end up eating government cheese and living in a van down by the river.
Sometimes, like,
I still don't remember how I found it. It just randomly came up to me, and I was like, this is so funny.
It almost sounds like Chris Farley is exaggerating himself. You know, like, that is so over the top. It's so great, and I could hear Bob Odenkirk's voice in that. That's just beautiful when a great writer and a great performer come together like that. All right, so we have a clip, too, from Some Like It Hot. This is a great story. Tony Curtis... This is before, this happened a lot too, like guys dressing up as girls, Tootsie, Bosom Buddies. But before there were those shows on TV, there was Tony Curtis and Jack Lemmon dressing up as women. And they were in a movie called Some Like It Hot, which dropped today in, when was that? 1959, Some Like It Hot. This is Jack Lemmon as a woman. Tony Curtis as women. They are very funny. They're not attractive. And they walk in on Marilyn Monroe, who plays Sugar Cane, and she's having sips out of a flask. She's a little toasted, but it's three really great actors.
You're the replacement for the bass and sax?
That's us, and I'm Daphne. This is Joe Zavine.
Okay. Yeah. I'm Sugar Cane.
Hi. Sugar Cane?
Yeah, I changed. It used to be Sugar Kowalczyk.
You're Polish?
Yes. I come from this musical family. My mother is a piano teacher. My father was a conductor.
Where did he conduct?
On the Baltimore, Ohio. Oh. I play the ukulele and I sing, too.
Sings, too?
Well, I don't have much of a voice, but then this isn't much of a band, either. I'm only with them because I'm running away.
Running away from what?
Oh, don't get me started on that. Hey, you want some? It's bourbon.
I'll take a rain check.
I don't want you to think I'm a drinker. I can stop anytime I want to, only I don't want to, especially when I'm blue.
We understand.
All the girls drink. It's just that I'm the one that gets caught. Story of my life. I always get the fuzzy end of the lollipop. Am I seeing straight?
I'll say.
Well, see you around, girl.
Bye, sugar. See? We have been playing with the wrong band.
Sound, Daphne.
How about the shape of that liquor cabinet, huh?
Forget it. One false move and they'll toss us off the train. Then there'll be the police, the papers, and the mob in Chicago.
Boy, would I love to borrow a cup of that sugar.
Look, no pastry, no butter, and no sugar.
That's a clip from Some Like It Hot. Tony Curtis, Jack Lemmon, and Marilyn Monroe. Marilyn Monroe was such a good actor. She was so fun and so great on screen. She has this reputation as just being sort of a pinup girl and the thing with the Kennedys and everything. And oftentimes her talent gets overlooked, which is a shame. Hey, this has been really fun spending this time together. Friday night, Easter weekend. I hope you all have a great weekend. Thanks to Todd Michaels Deering and Wendy Schneider, all your texts. So much fun here on Nightlight as usual. We'll be back Monday night. Have a great weekend. Good night, Wisconsin.